You're listening to KNKX. The mission of public schools is to provide an education to all students. But in many cases, they've also become a de facto social safety net. The Seattle Times reported in a recent feature that schools in Vancouver, Washington have become a model for providing help to students and families in need. In response to increasing poverty among its students, the district has created family community resource centers in more than half of its schools. 88.5 Youth and Education reporter Ashley Gross spoke with Neil Morton of the Seattle Times Education Lab team about his story and the school employees he spent time with.
What is the day in the life like for one of these coordinators?
It's heart-wrenching. It's basically triage for the whole day. They'll have students come in early in the morning who don't have shoes, and so they'll give them a pair just so they can get to class. They may not have eaten last night, so they'll give them some food in their office. It could be that something really tragic or abusive happened at home, so it's just coddling them and making sure that they're psychologically and emotionally sound to actually participate in class. It can be meeting with their parents to help them avoid an eviction. It could be helping them with translation services to fill out an employment application. It's across the board what needs they're trying to meet.
You write that the coordinator even has a checkbook to help parents in an emergency. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the school district's foundation, they raise a lot of money each year to basically provide each school with an emergency checkbook that if a parent comes saying, I can't make my car payment, they're going to repossess my car, they may be able to write a check real quick to take care of that. It's basically helping these families in very, very dire emergencies that would prevent the kid from maybe going to school the next day or moving out of the school completely.
Wow. And people don't take advantage of that?
None of the families I met in Vancouver suggested that they were taking advantage of it. If anything, they felt very squeamish or timid to even ask for help. And it takes a lot of humility to go into these rooms and say, you know, I'm about to be kicked out of my house. What can you do to help me? A lot of the times the families don't come forward with these requests, and it isn't until the community schools coordinator finds out from the kid what's about to happen. And then that person will reach out to the family saying, hey, let's make things okay for right now.
Is it challenging for the district to pay for this?
No, they don't spend too much money. It's about $1.7 million annually, which sounds like a lot, but the school district has a pretty big budget. They basically just pay for the salaries of these individuals in the school, and then that person gets everything donated from groups and agencies already providing these services. So the district doesn't provide any of these goods and services. They just connect them with the families who need them.
And in your story, you write that it's actually having an impact on academic results. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, the district is very cautious of, you know, saying this is the reason for improving academics and student outcomes, but they're pretty closely connected. So you'll see, especially among low-income and homeless students, their graduation rates are rising at much faster rates than what's happening at the state level. Student absenteeism is down. You have more early learners ready for kindergarten on the first day. You have fewer students moving in and out of school. And that's kind of a sign that maybe their home life is becoming more stable because of these programs.
How different is what Vancouver is doing from the Seattle public schools, for example?
So in Seattle, individual schools and principals can pool some money from the federal government, from their state funding for low-income kids, for their own flexible school-based budgets, and they can pool that together to pay for usually a third-party nonprofit who will provide a half or full-time staffer who can, you know, triage these needs as well. But none of the schools that I've met do this in-house like Vancouver. The city of Seattle also does provide a certain portion of its families and education levy to pay for family support workers at individual schools. And they kind of act like social workers with, you know, families of students.
You wrote on social media that reporting and writing this story moved you to tears at some points. So what in particular affected you deeply?
I wasn't raised in a particularly affluent household, but seeing these students and hearing their stories made me realize how lucky I was. I don't think a lot of people understand what poverty looks like and how it impacts just a kid's ability to focus in school. if their stomach is grumbling, if they have a toothache, if they don't know where they're going to live that night, how can we expect them to focus on the classroom instruction? And to meet these coordinators and the students and families they touched was really emotional for me to even talk about it when I got home, because I don't know how these families survive, and to have one ally in the building to take care of all those needs has changed their lives.
Neil Morton is a reporter with the Seattle Times Education Lab team. His story about Vancouver, Washington's Community Schools Initiative appeared in the paper on Sunday. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Ashley.
Ashley Gross, 88.5 News.